Welcome to NFP's Insights from the Experts podcast. Each episode showcases timely expertise and perspective from members of the NFP community, delivering information, analysis, and solutions that address our clients' most significant challenges.
Hello and welcome to the Benefits Compliance Podcast. I'm Chase Cannon. I'm here with my colleague, Suzanne Spradley, and we're both attorneys with NFP's legal and compliance team. We're on the podcast to help break down some of the challenging compliance issues that are in front of employers with respect to their group health plans. And we're happy to be back on the podcast here today. We're going to focus on one policy idea that's out there to address the problem that really all of us are up against, and especially group health plans with respect to the price of prescription drugs. And this has been a hot item in the news with a couple lawsuits out there on this that we've talked about in different resources with NFP. But today we're going to talk about pricing with respect to importation of drugs. So Suzanne, can you give us some background, a little bit more deeper background on what we're going to discuss?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, the high cost of prescription drugs continues to be a top issue, both for Americans, really, and for policymakers on both sides of the aisle. We've continued to see a lot of ideas to try to address this problem. One of those ideas is importing drugs from other countries, and that's really based off data that shows that the U.S. is paying more for medication than people in other countries. For example, there was a Kaiser Family Foundation analysis that said that there was a broad range of drugs that they analyzed, and they found that the Canadian prices were 44% of those in the U.S., so that's enough to get the policymakers' attention. And of course, one of the major concerns in importing drugs has been around ensuring drug safety. And so we have seen that not everybody's on board with this idea. So the Pharmaceutical Research of Manufacturers of America, Pharma, it represents the leading biopharmaceutical research companies, has been against this, as well as Canada, the Canadian government itself. So it's not that everybody's in support of this, and so that may provide some wrinkles going forward.
Yeah, so different interests and some different ways to view it. But can you just walk us out through at a very high level, sort of the legality that relates to importing drugs overall?
Yeah, so let's, from a baseline perspective, the only type of legally imported FDA approved, and that's a key, FDA approved drugs are those that, number one, are manufactured in a foreign FDA inspected facility that's intended for use by U.S. consumers, and it's imported into the U.S. by the drug manufacturer. And then those that are U.S. approved and manufactured in the U.S. that are sent abroad and then brought back for a rare circumstance, like there could be an emergency medical purpose or a product recall. So that's kind of your baseline. But then for broader importation, we go back to 2000. And in 2000, Congress enacted the Medicine Equity and Drug Safety Act, so MEDS Act in the acronyms. We like acronyms, don't we, Chase?
Yes, we love them.
And that allows pharmacists and wholesalers to import prescription drugs directly from certain industrialized countries, including Canada. The MEDS Act allowed importation only if the HHS secretary certified that the program posed no additional risk to the public's health and safety and would result in a significant reduction in the cost of the products for the American consumers. So there was definitely some keys that have to be proven in order to import those drugs. And then in 2003, the Medicare Modernization Act, MMA, again amended that same Section 804, and it specified that wholesalers and pharmacists could only import drugs from Canada, not other industrialized countries. And it also required the HHS to issue regulations that would grant waivers to individuals to import drugs for personal use under certain circumstances. But we haven't really seen as much happen under this until recently in 2020, when the Trump administration issued a final rule that created these new pathways that were called the Section 804 Importation Program. It was the SIP pathway for states and for Native American tribes to import drugs from Canada. And then in 2021, the Biden administration moved the process forward even more through an executive order that directed the FDA commissioner to work with the states and the Native American tribes in developing an importation plan.
Yeah, so very interesting. Some new acronyms, as you mentioned, but I think those are very relevant. And then this balance that we're trying to strike with our policies of safety, maintaining the safety while reducing the cost. And so with all of that, but before we get into details about the SIP program, What about limits for individuals to legally import drugs from other countries like Canada? Can I buy a drug online, for example, and import it in from another country?
So in most circumstances, it's been illegal for individuals to import drugs or FDA-approved drugs from other countries for personal use. But the changes enacted by the MMA, personal importation of prescription drugs that have not been approved by the FDA are permitted on a case-by-case basis. And then following this, the FDA has put out guidance that lays out the circumstances where the non-FDA approved drugs for personal use could be allowed. So, for example, personal importation is generally allowed if the treatment is for a serious condition and there is no effective treatment available in the U.S. and there's no commercialization of the drug for the U.S. resident. So the individual's not trying to bring it in for that purpose and then obviously selling it to others. And then in those cases, only a 3-month supply is allowed. And the individuals must confirm in writing that they don't intend to commercialize, you know, that drug and that they are using it only for personal use. So I will say that there appears to be little enforcement in this area. So it may be occurring. Individuals may be hearing of it occurring because of that. So even if it is technically illegal, there is current law that directs the FDA to exercise discretion in permitting personal importation of drugs when the product is clearly for personal use and does not appear to present an unreasonable risk to the user. And so I think there certainly has been a lack of enforcement or an intentional lack of enforcement, I should say. But that doesn't mean that we would want to apply it broadly as a plan sponsor. And so I would caution plan sponsors to take this and run with it in order to incorporate it into their group health plan. We did discuss in a prior episode Utah, and they had done an interesting plan that they sent their employees down to Mexico to fill prescriptions at a certain pharmacy for a 3-month supply and brought them back in. I honestly haven't kept up with that plan. I knew that there was some question on whether that plan would remain, given that it was a group health plan at a state level that was establishing it. But I would certainly caution any plan sponsor to seek advice from counsel before considering something on a broader perspective.
That's right. We covered that on a prior podcast and definitely agree with that idea of checking with legal counsel first. Before considering something like that. But speaking of states, you mentioned Utah with that interesting and unique plan design. But back to the SIP program, I believe that Florida took the lead of the states on trying to develop some type of importation plan. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, so Florida, and there were some 7 other states, I believe, which we can outline in a minute. But they did submit plans to the FDA under the SIP program, and I think Florida got frustrated with the slow turnaround time, and so they later sued the FDA in 2022, accusing the agency of reckless delay in approving the plan. So on January 5th of this year, the FDA granted its first approval. And that was to Florida state plan to import certain drugs from Canada for a period of 2 years, and stating that it met the requirements that importation would provide savings to consumers without sacrificing health and safety. And then to unpack that a bit, under the application, Florida was required to specify the drugs it sought to import. So it has to outline the specific drugs, the foreign seller in Canada that would purchase the drug directly from the manufacturer, the importer in the U.S. that would buy the drug from the foreign seller in Canada, the relabeler or repackager of the drug itself to ensure that it met the labeling requirements in the U.S., the qualifying lab that would conduct testing of the drug for authenticity and degradation, and then the steps that would be taken by the SIP to ensure that the supply chain was secure. But even when you have FDA approval, Florida still has to meet additional requirements before the plan can be implemented. So they then have to, before they can import any drugs, again, they need to submit a pre-import request to FDA for each drug it seeks to import, and it can only import the drugs if the FDA approves that specific request. And so they have quite a few additional hoops to jump through in addition to quality testing of the drugs to ensure that the drug labels meet the FDA standards.
Yeah, very, very interesting requirements there. And it feels like it's all about the paper trail, right? Trying to figure out who's going to have their hands and on the drugs and whether they're legitimate. And so thinking of that, though, are there limitations on which drugs can be imported under the SIP program and are which... Mm-hmm. And which drugs is Florida really seeking to import?
Well, so under the SIP pathway, only drugs that are currently marketed in the U.S. are eligible for importation, and certain drugs, types of drugs are excluded from the definition of what would be considered an eligible prescription drug, which would include like a controlled substance, biological products like insulin, infused drugs, IV injected drugs, and inhaled drugs during surgery. So those have all been excluded. And they have also excluded drugs that are subject to risk evaluation and mitigation strategies, REMS, that are considered high risk products like opioids. So now Florida specifically has sought to import 14 drugs that treat HIV, mental illness, prostate cancer, and urea cycle disorder. And in Florida, imported drugs can only be available for people that are receiving services through a certain state agencies and government programs, including people that are covered under Medicaid, and people that are served through the county health departments and certain other facilities. So it does not extend to the commercial side. So employer health plans are not included within that. And so we'll watch to see how that unrolls in the future.
Yeah. So I think one of the requirements, and we mentioned this earlier, relates to for importation relates to cost savings. Did Florida provide any information on how much savings might occur there with their program?
You know, it's interesting because neither the September 2020 final rule that created the SIP pathway nor the FDA's final regulatory impact analysis provided an estimate of expected savings. So I'm not sure if that's because it's too broad and they couldn't tie it down to specific drugs, but Florida had to. And so they stated that their plan would save up to $183 million in the first year of implementation. And based on their October 20th, 2023 estimate of cost savings, they would accrue to the state's Medicaid program. So whether any Floridian will really benefit on an out-of-pocket basis for pharmacy costs, well, whether it would impact individuals statewide, it remains to be seen. So that's really unclear at this point.
Yeah. Interesting numbers, though. And obviously, that's impacted by the number of individuals in Florida. So it might be higher than other states because Florida is a populous state. But speaking of those other states, what are those other states that you mentioned and what are they doing to implement their drug importation proposals under this program?
So I'll hit on these real quickly. There's seven other states. So Colorado, in February of this year, they submitted a revised version of their SIP program to the FDA. And in the proposal, they noted that it had been having some difficulty negotiating with the drug manufacturers in Canada to allow exportation of the drugs to the U.S. And it was looking for more guidance from the FDA on how to address the issue. But they are trying to import 24 drugs to treat blood clots, cystic fibrosis, respiratory illness, cancer, type 2 diabetes, HIV, rheumatoid arthritis. And of the drugs that they list in their application, there were four that overlapped with Florida. So that's, you know, the remaining 20 were something unique. And so they estimate that their program will save close to $51 million in the first 3 years of implementation if all 24 drugs are eligible for importation. Unlike Florida, this is, I think, really important to watch. Their analysis assumes cost savings for individuals with commercial insurance, including employer-sponsored and individually purchased insurance. So they expect that nearly all of the savings, 93.5%, will be passed on to consumers in the form of lower premiums. So again, this is something really to watch in Colorado and see if this is really affected in that way. New Mexico, I'll add, they submitted its SIP application in December 2020 for FDA approval. They're still waiting a response. We have New Hampshire that submitted one in August of 2021, which was rejected by the FDA in November of 2022 because they had not identified a foreign seller nor provided, you know, some of the other information that was required. And I don't believe they've submitted a revised application at this time. Vermont submitted a concept paper in November of 2019, but it hasn't submitted a new one since the SIP pathway was finalized in 2020. Maine submitted import proposal in May of 2020, and also prior to the SIP program being finalized. North Dakota passed a bill in April 2021 that requires a study on the potential impact of prescription drugs, but hasn't submitted an actual application. And then in Texas, the final one in June of 2023, enacted legislation to establish a program and published the wholesale prescription drug importation report in December with research and recommendations to support the implementation of the program. So we should see more coming out of Texas shortly.
Yeah, very interesting and always good to see the broad spectrum of states, right? Usually we can sometimes look into how states act based on their political leanings, but it seems like we have kind of all across the country geographically and states with different political leanings, all interested in this. And so that to me is very interesting part of this, but we'll wait and see what those different states do. In the meantime, you mentioned that Canada was not a fan of the importation program. And I think that's a really important and interesting point. We've really just focused on what is the US law in order to be able to do this, to bring the drugs in. But what's Canada's perspective here, and why are they less hyped about this?
Well, when the SIP program was first proposed, the government of Canada stated that it would be unable to meet the needs of the U.S. market without impacting their own access to medication within their country. And they expressed concern that it would create drug shortages in Canada. And they issued an order in November of 2020 prohibiting the distribution of drugs that if it would cause or exacerbate a shortage. So it certainly is possible that the Canadian government would impose barriers to importing drugs into the U.S. In a recent response to the FDA action for Florida, Health Canada released a statement saying the government of Canada is taking all necessary action to safeguard the drug supply and ensure Canadians have access to the prescription drugs they need, and added, bulk importation will not provide an effective solution to the problem of high drug prices in the U.S. So a bit of a dig to the U.S., but we certainly could see that being a barrier, and as this rolls out further with more states.
Yeah. So very interesting perspective from Canada there. We certainly understand and respect that. But this has been very interesting. Thank you so much, Suzanne, for walking us through some of the things to consider here with drug importation as it relates to the U.S. and prescription drug prices. Obviously, we'll wait and see how much of this really impacts employer-sponsored plans, but we'll continue to monitor that. Any last thoughts here?
No, I think, as you just said, this is going to take some time to roll out, certainly, and for it to make any impact at all in states. And so we'll just be watching this as it does and look for the variations among the states and how they do it.
Yeah, great. So thank you, Suzanne. We appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. As we like to say on the podcast,
that's a wrap. Thanks for joining.
That's a wrap.